you guys. Yeah. It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, we're trying to recover from last night.
Yeah, we're running a little bit late today. Well, it's we ate kind of late, and then I was watching a movie, and I wanted to finish it. So
made some tortillas, did some tacos.
Yeah, they were delicious.
Yeah, made some corn tortillas.
You got your volume on.
Got to turn the volume off on this.
It's just really distracting.
I got the dough going to make hamburger buns.
Oh, we're going to have that later for dinner? That'd be good.
Yeah, I'm thawing out hamburger, and I got the dough sitting there rising to make some hamburger buns.
Look at you, Mr. Baker.
That's right. That's right. And it kind of has eggs in it. Egg hamburger bun.
Oh, okay.
That
sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to talk about Alien versus Predator?
Alien versus Predator.
Now, you had never seen this before.
No, I'd seen it.
Oh, I thought you told me.
I haven't seen this version of it. This is, what do they call it, director's or unrated?
It's the unrated version. I think the original one was PG-13.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Although, I don't really remember anything different in this one. I said, I saw this in the theater when it came out back in 2004. Ugh. And it didn't really make any impression, so I can't. But it didn't really seem all that graphic or gory or anything like that, to be honest.
This movie didn't make an impression on you.
No.
You saw it in the theater?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I liked it. It's all right. I mean, it's kind of controversial, the Alien versus Predator scenes. I mean, some of the mega fans fucking hated this one, especially the part two, which is Requiem.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, everybody shits on that
one. They shit on that one. And
I haven't seen it, though.
I've seen it. I've seen that one, too. Now, there's a couple different edits of it. We're gonna try to get the newest edit. I got opinions about that movie, too. I mean, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, that I kind of liked them. There are problems. There's problems with both of them. But it's just more Alien and Predator stuff. Biggest complaint about this one that I can recall is that the lead in it is this chick who's she's, I guess, like a mountain climber. Kind of like they hired her as
like
a guide,
survival guide,
and she's a bit of a Mary Sue. I mean, she can kind of, you know, everything she does is fucking awesome. That's the only major gripe with it. Besides that, you know, there are some kind of inconsistencies. There's some kind of some cheese in it. Like, you don't really need a guide. They brought a lot of people. Wayland is bringing a lot of professionals that he actually doesn't need to have. Or professionals that aren't rare, you know. Like, yeah, you can bring a guide, but there's thousands of those. And you don't really need a guide. I mean, you can see where you're going. They just landed on top of it. It was just kind of an excuse to get a bunch of different people in the cast so you could have an action movie.
So they could all get killed.
So they could all get killed. That's really what it was. Okay.
Well, it's just, it's the same principle as, like, a slasher movie. It's like, you know, the more teenagers go along to the camping trip, the more carnage will ensue.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to argue.
So that does kind of disturb the logic in the movie. But it's just a fucking movie, all right? Could it have been better? Yeah, it could have been a lot better, all right? But it also could have been a lot worse. This shit is like a damn masterpiece compared to some of the bullshit they've been making in the past fucking 5-10 years. I think it's better than The Predator, which has some good in it and some bad in it, you know? That movie could have been a lot better. So, now that it's kind of aged, it's not as bad as they thought it was, I think, at the time. It's just kind of... Storyline's just kind of average. But it's got a lot of good scenes in it. Got a lot of good special effects. Good ideas. It's a pretty cool story. I enjoyed it.
It kind of reminded me of... Because, like, when they go... Like, if you haven't seen the movie, the story actually... the idea for, like, the Predator and Alien, like, teaming up... That came from, like, a comic book from the late 80s.
Yeah.
And I think, like, in Predator 2, wasn't there kind of, like, a throwaway joke where he had, like, an alien skull? Like, because they were kind of, like...
Yeah, well, they show it in the Predator ship. There's a piece of an alien skull in there. And a bunch of damn dinosaurs and stuff.
Or right.
Does it look like dinosaurs?
So they've been, like, kicking around, you know, ideas for this for a long time. And I think, like, James Cameron and Ridley Scott were kind of, like, involved. And then when they said they wanted to do, like, monster mashup, like Predator versus Alien, they're like, nah, I'm out. Although, James Cameron, James Cameron, like, he saw it, this movie later and was like, ah, that's pretty good. Ridley Scott was like, no, absolutely not. So he, you know, he went on to make Prometheus, like, out of the ideas that he had that were originally going to be this movie, like a fifth Alien movie. Yeah. So this was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who does a lot of these kinds of movies. He did, like, the Resident Evil stuff, and he does, like, a lot of video game adaptations. That's kind of, like, his bag.
Well, shit, if that's his bag, then this is a masterpiece for him, because those things usually fucking suck.
Yeah.
Those things can be very bad. But this movie's not bad.
This isn't a bad movie by any stretch. To me, it just seemed like there. Like, it's kind of enjoyable when you're watching it, but like I said, I saw it in the theater, and I did not remember. Yeah. I think the only thing I remembered about it when we were rewatching it was that big tunnel, like them sliding down the big long tunnel, like, into the earth. Yeah. I remembered that, and I think that was about all that I remembered from it. I don't know why that was the only scene that I remembered, but one thing I will give it props for is... pretty much all of the creature effects are practical.
Most of them, yeah, they look good.
So it still looks really good nowadays. There is some CG in there. Mostly, I think the CG was mostly utilized when the monsters are, like, kind of running around, or also because this thing that's under the earth is kind of like a Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
Fall into the thing and, like, it closes up and, like, different,
Excuse some background. I mean, you have Wayland Industries, you know, he's from the Alien franchise, a mega billionaire, you know.
I do like that they got Lance Henriksen to play him.
Yeah.
Who played Bishop in the first.
Right, so I guess Wayland made all the robots look
like him. Look like him, yeah. I guess that was, like, so I was like, oh, that was pretty clever.
Yeah, and that theme happens, I think, in Alien 3, too. You meet him, and he looks like... Which, we don't know how old fucking Wayland is. He must be fucking living centuries or something from, like, biotechnology. Maybe he's downloading his mind into fucking clone bodies, you know, replacement bodies. Which, man, that doesn't sound far-fetched anymore with some of the weird technology they have now. But... anyway, one of his satellites picks up this damn thermal signal in Antarctica, and they analyze it. He has a team that analyzes it in 3D, and they see it's a damn pyramid 2,000 feet underneath the fucking ice. And it's a pyramid that looks like mixtures of Egyptian and Mesoamerican and stuff from like a Thailand, something from Thailand. And he gets together this team of kind of like explorers, and they're gonna go down there and look at this thing. And they brought drilling equipment and everything. So that part of the movie feels a lot like Prometheus. There's a lot of this. I think a lot of those scenes were kind of rehashed for the Prometheus movie. You know?
Yeah, it might have been. Like I kind of think that one of the ideas from this came from Chariots of the Gods, obviously.
Right.
So, you know, Prometheus kind of had that sort of vibe, too. So.
Which a lot of people hated Prometheus. I love Prometheus because when I saw it, I knew something was missing. That shit had been cut out. And it was. I saw the deleted scenes, and it was even better. But it still... Prometheus was still kind of like, nah, what does this mean? You know, other people were blowing it off, but there's too many damn Ridley Scott hits, you know, about Rubik's Cubes. That was a puzzle. And then eventually the original script leaked, and the original script was so badass. They should have made that movie, but they cut all the cool shit out of it. Fucking assholes. And then that really fucked up Prometheus. Prometheus should have been really good had they not fucked with it. Anyway... So they go down there to go drill into this fucking ice to go find this temple, and it turns out the damn predators shot a damn beam and bored a hole in the ice right down to it just in a few seconds. They didn't see that happen though. They saw that it cut through a building, because this is happening underneath an old 1800s,
like a whaling
village. Yeah, yeah. It showed a scene back in the 1800s of this dude getting killed by the damn predator and an alien. It kind of I liked it because it kind of gave the... What the hell?
That's my phone.
Jesus Christ.
Every time it rings, he asks what it is, even though it's the same sound.
Yeah.
It's my phone ringing.
All that spooky-ass music back there.
By the way, thank you, Mr. Roboto.
What do you say?
Tom, could you survive Alien versus Predator?
No.
I don't think most people could.
Nobody could. That's the part of the bullshit of this movie. No, you couldn't survive around those things. And so that first opening scene back in the 1800s was pretty cool because it kind of gave me that cosmic horror kind of feel, like Lovecraft.
Yeah.
It was like a love. It had a kind of a Lovecraft feel to it, that town, you know. And it kind of like Innsmouth or something, you know. Anyway, so they go down in there and they see this damn pyramid. And a couple of the guys there can read the glyphs to varying degrees. And they don't know exactly what's going on, but this thing is a damn machine. And it changes shape while you're in there. It's a hunting ground. And underneath there, they got a damn alien queen. And it can make eggs. And there's a damn sacrificial chamber that they find. And there's this big backstory, you know. The predators have a damn hunting ground on Antarctica from 1,000 years ago. And every now and then, young predators have to go there to survive this hunt against the aliens. They call them serpents. The predators call them serpents. And they have to fight the serpents. And if they live, they earn the right to carry them damn guns on their shoulders, like you saw in Predator. That's how they earn them. And then the games begin. They get in there and fucking, of course, people get turned into aliens and chest bursters and face huggers. And you got to fight all the damn aliens and predators. And it kind of narrows down to them, the guide, the chick who's a guide. I don't know that actress's name. She's kind of like a fucking mixed race kind of black chick. Fucking,
I've seen her in other
killer figure, man. Those fucking snow pants. She's running around in snow pants all the time. That sister's got some thighs on her, man. Fucking bell bottom snow pants. She's cute, but she's the Mary Sue. The character's not written that well. This is a problem, if you ask me, with all the damn alien movies, all of them, including Prometheus, because the character of Ripley was so badass, they keep trying to replicate that character over and over again. They have some woman in there, and she's just going to be a Ripley ripoff. And you can only do that once. That was Sigourney Weaver that did that.
Yeah.
At a certain place at a certain time. So one of the problems with anything having to do with Alien or Alien versus Predator is that there's always a fake Ripley, which it gets old. But she did a good job with the movie, you know, just that, you know, this is the story they want to tell. And she ends up falling in with one of the predators, and she kind of becomes his hunting dog, basically. And he teaches her how to survive the damn aliens, and he makes her a shield and a spear out of damn alien body parts. And, you know, it's kind of cool. There's some kind of cool ideas. It's just, there's cheese, you know. She had a spear and a shield made out of alien body parts. That's not a survival for a success. I mean, that's not a fucking recipe for survival against fucking xenomorphs, if you ask me. Those things would kill you better than shit. I mean, they were killing people that had fucking machine guns.
Yeah.
And body armor. So, kind of strange credulity, but it did have some good fight scenes, and it had a good ending. And I don't want to, I guess, you know, I mean, it's an old movie, you know. I guess I could spoil it. Probably everybody's seen it. The predator she makes friends with gets pregnant by her. Not kidding. Gets pregnant by the aliens. And at the end, it fucking pops out.
That would actually have been
so much better.
That would have been a good ending.
If they have sex and he gets pregnant from her, that would have been much better. They should have me writing this shit. I could write this shit, man. This fucking movies would be badass. And the asses in seats and shit. Everybody come see my movies. It'd be fucking bizarre. Bizarre, yeah. He had like a gender swapping predator. He's now pregnant. Turned out the whole time he was female.
Or maybe maybe the predators, that's the males get pregnant.
Yeah, that'd work.
You know,
we'll work it out.
That's what I'm saying. Because there are some animals where that happens.
It pops out half human.
Yeah, see
that. In them snow pants. You saw the snow pants, Jenny. Yeah. You saw the snow pants, Jenny. She had some badass thighs.
Tom's fetishizing the snow pants.
Fetishizing the snow pants. Yeah.
But, the fight scenes were cool. Like, I really liked the practical effects.
Yeah.
What criticism I don't, like, some of the fight scenes, like, the editing was too quick and too close up. I couldn't tell what was going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's because they're trying to make it exciting and they don't want it to look fake. So they don't show it to you for very long.
Yeah.
They're suggesting it. They do that in Predator. They did that in Alien, too. In Aliens, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of that shit was just almost subliminal flashes.
Which that can work, but I kind of feel like it was more, I don't even think it was the fast editing. It was just that I feel like the camera was a little bit too close to the action.
Yeah.
So when you have that fast editing like that, I'm like, wait, what just happened? Like who's getting hit here?
Yeah.
And so it was that kind of thing. And, you know, like you said, the characters in this are not super, I mean, she was obviously the best one because she was the one that got like the most screen time. But I didn't remember any of the other characters' names. And, you know, the only other guy I kind of remembered was, like, I was, like, the dude that was in Trainspotting. You know what I mean? I was like, hey, you Trainspotting guy. So, you know.
That was another thing that's kind of about the movie is that you got your standard fucking over-masculinized fucking Mary Sue females and a lot of fucking corny males. A lot of corny white dudes. Several of those. Which is, it's very predictable now. There's like, you can tell how certain things, it's almost, everything's now a trope in these movies. It's all just fucking tropes. There's not very much originality in any of these things, really. It's like they have to work within certain frameworks. It's because they're assembling this shit by committee, and everything is about fucking law of averages and fucking, well, what is the, and it's They put these movies together, I think, by a theory, you know, theorem, or a fucking algorithm, and it looks canned. They don't feel natural, to me. But it was still an entertaining movie. If you're real drunk, it's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just I don't take these movies serious anymore.
Well, I don't either. But
that's the thing is like they're the fandom from all these properties. They fucking love these things, and a lot of it has to do with the video games and expanded universe stuff and books and comics. They love the shit. But the people that make these movies don't really give a fuck. They're just going to put it together according to what the studio wants, and it's just going to be kind of corny. And when it comes out, the hardcore fans are like, oh, you know, it's because, you know, have fucked up their sacred fucking story, you know, which I agree. Look at how bad they fucked up Star Wars, you know. I understand it. It's just that you're not going to be able to control it. Not until you start voting with your feet and stop fucking watching this shit. And they're not going to stop watching it. They'll watch anything. Seems like.
Mr. Roboto says, Jenny, is that natural sunlight behind you? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Coming through there. Yeah, I was just thinking, too, it's probably in a couple minutes, it's probably going to come and, like, white out the screen because I forgot that it does that around this time of day. Hello, my favorite goth couple. Hello. Hello, hey. Chat. I remember when this movie was being advertised, people were so upset that it got dropped from a rated R to PG-13. Yeah. And I think that was that they initially made it as an R movie, but I guess the studio, you know, I kind of feel like in the early 2000s, they did a lot of that, like horror movies and stuff, which is why I didn't like a lot of them. They're just like, well, you know, more teenagers will go see it if you make it PG-13. So they usually had to like cut a bunch of stuff out. But the version that we saw the unrated one, which was on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And
it felt good.
But I didn't know what would have been taken out to give that a PG-13.
Probably a couple seconds of gore.
And it wasn't really that gory. I mean, honestly, even when the people got killed, it wasn't gory. And then the monsters, like when the monsters were fighting each other, that it was like green blood. And you can get away with green blood all day long because it's like killing a monster.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I don't even remember there being like excessive swearing in it or anything like that. So I'm struggling to think of like what was cut out of that to make it a PG-13. It didn't really seem all that graphic to me.
We're doing these because a couple years back, I remember a regular had asked me to review these. They wanted to know my opinion on them. So I'm going to give you my opinion. We're going to do Requiem too. Requiem had problems, but I also enjoyed it. But we'll talk about it more.
See, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I saw this, but like I said, it didn't... I remember seeing it in the theater and being like, ah, that was okay.
Yeah.
And then not ever thinking about it ever again. You know what I mean? I had forgotten, like, everything that happened in it. But as I said, other than... It's not a bad movie. It's just not real memorable. Like, it didn't really stand out to me.
I think the reason why it's not memorable is it does not have an organic feeling. Alien 1 and 2. And they evidently... James Cameron hates it when people call it Alien 2, but fuck you, I'm gonna call it Alien 2. I don't have time to fucking put an S on something, all right?
But he has time for this whole long explanation about it, though.
See, she's trying to call me out behind you. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's my job.
Alien 1 and 2 kind of had a realistic tone to it. You had characters that seemed very believable. They did seem like you bought it, that they were... basically fucking space truckers, you know, blue collar space. You bought it. And then people go into a damn abandoned fucking compound on another planet with the colonial marines. And in the original edit, you kind of buy that. The characters do seem realistic. If you see the extended director's cut of fucking Alien 2, there's too much Hudson in there and too much some other ones. And Hudson is a goofy character if you see everything that they did. Everything that he says. It's better that they cut a lot of him out. He's better, but there's less of him. Because what was in the original theatrical release, it was the best of Hudson. He didn't want any more. He was just goofy. Also, the stuff that was happening on at Hadley's Hope before they got there, like what the colonists did, it's better if you don't know what they did. You just show up, what the hell happened to them? You have to imagine what they did. In the director's cut, it shows Newt's family and that they found the alien ship. It does, the edit doesn't look that good, what was shot. And just the stuff at Hadley's Hope, it's better if you don't know, because then there's more tension into the movie. You know what I mean? You're like, wow, what happened here? You know, you only want to know what the Marines know, basically.
Yeah, like, shit like that's way scarier. Yeah,
it's way scarier if you don't know.
Because you're going into it on the same footing as the protagonist.
Exactly. So, when it comes to Alien 2, you want to see the theatrical release. That's the standard. That's the best one. Later on, once you get used to it, you can watch the director's cut, see the bonus shit, because you already know. You know what I mean? So you get to see what was shot and some of the scenes that were deleted. Well... AVP did not have that kind of organic kind of gravitas as the theatrical releases of Aliens 1 and 2. And the same thing with Predator. Predator 1. Predator 2 is okay. Not as good as 1. I actually liked the, what was it called? Predators?
Yeah, that I liked that as well. I liked that as well.
Yeah, when they were on the alien planet, planet, I really liked that one. I thought that one was really good.
Yeah, the one with Adrian Brody in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that.
I thought it was good. Yeah, it wasn't perfect. Adrian Brody's got the fucking Batman voice and, you know, but, and every character in there is kind of a reboot of another character, but that's all right. I thought that was a good movie. Predators, I thought it was a good idea. You had fucking crazy-ass nuts like me from the VA fighting Predator. But they didn't quite do that as well as it could have been. You know, it was okay, but they demystified too much of the damn Predator, adding this stuff in about gene splicing and fucking global warming shit. You know, they just kind of distracted from it. No, leave the Yautas or whatever you call them, leave them alone. They are that. They're not trying to crossbreed themselves with fucking prey, with their prey. I thought that was a dumb idea. You could probably take The Predator, that last one, and re-edit it and make it a lot better. That movie just needed to be streamlined some. Remember?
Yeah, kind of. I don't remember.
The kid that found the mask the what are they called? The little idiot savant kid. What do you call him? Not an idiot savant. What do they call him nowadays?
The autistic.
Autistic. Same thing. I'm old school, man. Back in the day, we called them idiot savants, idiot geniuses. But the autistic kid was totally unnecessary to the movie. He should have been taken out of there. I don't know why he was in there. I think maybe they were trying to appeal to a younger audience, so they put a kid in there. They put a Kenny in there, basically. If you guys watch Gamera always had a little fucking Japanese kid in shorts named Kenny. Okay.
It seemed like he was always Gamera, named Kenny.
Gamera, yeah, yeah.
Who made friends with Gamera.
Yeah.
Gamera is friend to all children. And also
these,
filled
these with studios turtles. That make these movies are retarded. They're stupid. They overthink things. They listen to fucking study groups.
Well, putting a kid in a movie is kind of like a quick way of getting people to, in theory anyway,
yes,
getting people to care, because it's just kind of like, oh, a child in danger. Like most people would, you know.
It's all theory. It doesn't actually work.
Well, it depends on how well it's executed. I mean,
that's
true.
I mean, you could kind of say Alita Battle Angel was that. That people that character's making you care because she's young and she doesn't know what the hell's going on. And where am I? You know, but that was very good execution. Even though the audience loved it and they don't want to make another one. So why? Because they're fucking retarded. All right, they're retarded. They'd rather make another The Predator and put like two Kennys in it this time. Oh, they'll respond this time. Let's put two kids in it. You know.
I'd watch it if the Predator pulled both those kids' heads off.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, ooh, ballsy.
The studios, I believe, are run by just groups of people that are paid to go in there and give opinions based on some piece of paper that they earned in some fucking college. Oh, well, you know, we have to have this and that. And it'll sell billions of tickets because people this and that. And then they just sell these fucking hokey ideas to some studio, cha-ching, they get their check, and they walk off, and then they just make this damn abomination of a fucking movie. And you can just tell it's just as artificial as shit. What people responded to was shit that was creative and artistic and innovative, and that's what Alien 1 and Alien 2 were that. Predator 1 was like that. Predator 2, not so much. And then the Terminator. Terminator 1, man, that shit was fucking badass. I didn't even like Terminator 2. A lot of people say, well, that's the best action movie. Man, no, go back and look at that thing.
The thing about it, I was talking to Matt at the club last night about this. We were talking, we got into this big, long discussion about horror movies because we were talking about Alien vs. Predator. And I was just kind of like, the problem is that, particularly with sci-fi and horror, like monster movies and stuff like that, the more times you return to that well, that same IP, it becomes less and less mysterious and so less and less cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just kind of, I mean, obviously the first Alien, the first Predator, that was like fucking mind blowing because nobody had seen a monster like that. You know what I mean?
And it was, you could buy it.
You know what I mean? Particularly, and we were talking about this last night too, like the first Predator, like when he takes that mask off and that fucking amazing makeup, you know what I mean? I mean, that still looks fucking great today.
That mask from Predator 1 looks better than the mask in this one.
Yeah.
It looks a lot better.
Yeah.
And this was decades later. Yeah. That's how good that damn costume was.
Yeah.
It was fucking really good.
It's still amazing. And so, like I said, once you've seen that monster, whether it's Alien or Predator, you know, the more movies they make of it, it's like, well, everybody's seen that now. So you've you've automatically lost like 50 to 75% of what made the first movie cool was that mystique and that sense of the new is you're seeing something like different that you haven't seen before. And it's like, you don't have that anymore. I know that people in general, and this is why they keep making Marvel movies, this is why they keep making sequels and reboots and everything like that, because people actually do respond to seeing something familiar. A lot of times if somebody makes some weird-ass bizarro movie, like, nobody wants to watch it. So there is a reason why they keep doing it, because people keep going to see it. People do like familiar things. But honestly, but then it's weird because it's like they want to see more of that, but then they complain about it. It's like, well,
They want more of that, but then when you give them more of that, they go, oh, that's all it is?
I didn't like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, that's just, that's the name of that game. And they, they're dumb for falling into that, but maybe not that dumb, because they probably make a lot of money doing that.
Well, yeah, they do, obviously. That's why, they, like I said, that's why they keep doing it. And it's like, I don't understand, like, why...
But each time, it's diminishing returns.
Yeah,
it's diminishing returns each time. Because fucking The Predator didn't do well at the box office. That last one? It didn't do well.
Yeah, there was, sorry, there was, like, some comments back here that were...
I got booted out of fucking YouTube. I can't get back into it.
Oh. YouTube's sick of your shit.
Yeah.
Get off.
Yeah. They're mad at me.
They're mad at you.
Yeah.
Or something.
Maybe
your thing is just fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
But, somebody was saying earlier that, yeah, if you, you can make as gory a movie as you want as long as you make the blood green, and then you can get away with it, like PG-13. What was that movie? There was a movie that was like that I was, like, specifically thinking of, where it was just, like, slime instead of blood, and it made it green, and it's just, like, really, really gross, but it's still got a PG-13 rating because it's not actual blood. You know what I mean?
One of the Evil Dead movies, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe. Now I can't, like, think what it is.
Or was it... Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't, but I just...
They do that shit a lot.
But, so maybe why... But, like I said, this movie, I don't know, like, what they would have cut out because it didn't really seem... Even, like, the chest burster, they did that, and it's just kind of like, it wasn't that gory. It wasn't even as bad as the first movie. And somebody pointed out, too, that it's like, you know, in the first movie where, you know, he gets the face hugger, and then it's a while, like, before the alien baby pops out his chest?
Yeah, not in this one.
In this one, it was, like, almost immediate.
It was, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, she, like, you know, the thing was on her face, and then, like, it fell off and died, and then, like, a second later, it was, like, pow, and it was, like, popped out. But it wasn't, like, that graphic, is what I'm saying. So I don't really know, like, what would have been taken out of here. Nothing really looked all that
trying to see what
alarming.
What other people are saying.
And somebody also said that the alien would be scarier than Predator. Yeah, because, I mean, Predator is scary, but he's like a humanoid thing, you know. So, presumably, and they have technology and language and everything like that, so presumably you could reason with it, potentially. The alien, not so much.
All right, the best kill in this one. That's what the thing with the net, that damn sharp net. That was a good one. Oh. But what Jenny was talking about, how they keep trying to go back into the same well over and over again to make more cash, but it's diminishing returns. And then they do stupid shit like what they did. The reason why the Terminator franchise is not worth a spit. You just can't do anything with that anymore. Is because they fucking... They committed the cardinal sin of that movie. They showed you Skynet. They should have never showed that. And it, when they showed Skynet, it was just a VR humanoid face with a voice, and it had a mind and a personality. You could talk to it. You can now vision what Skynet is. Stupid. They should have never done that. Ever.
Yeah, I mean, don't demystify things.
Nope.
Shit's much scarier if you keep it mysterious.
If you don't know what it is. And you go, oh, okay, Skynet's a chick. She's a chick on a screen. That's not, no. Skynet should have been almost an insect-like fucking AI, computer intelligence, and it would have had no need to take any human form or even speak to a human. It would be like you trying to talk to an ant. Why would you even try to talk to an ant? That's the way Skynet should have been. Should have never seen it. It'd be like the internet. You know, you can't talk to the internet. It's like that. But they gave it a damn form. It's just a bad idea. Terrible. Kind of like what they did with the Borg. Like the Borg Queen. Bad idea. There should have never been a Borg Queen.
Mr. Roboto says, Steven Seagal versus Predator, who wins? Tammy says, Seagal, he just sits on the Predator.
Fucking, the Predator would jump down and fucking grab Seagal by the head and go, nah. And just push him off and walk away.
Nah. There's no challenge. Nah. That's very funny.
Yeah, and he'd be doing karate chops and trying to do fucking keto and shit, you know, and the fucking predator would just laugh at that. Nah. And then try to scan his brain, see what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's pathological.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's what would happen.
Granther's Hammer said if anyone wants to meet Seagal, he's at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas this week. He goes every year, walks around, and pesters all the gun manufacturers for swag.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would do.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That tracks.
And then he'd probably get back there and try to have pictures of himself taken with the fucking staff, like he's overseeing the development of weaponry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing what I told them to do. Yeah, this is a pistol. I've been wanting to make this pistol for 20 years. They're finally getting around to doing it. Yeah. Oh, you know, the Barrett 50 was my idea. I invented 50 caliber, actually. Yeah, back in World War I. Yeah.
Captain Blierdo says, was it the lore that Predator would not attack you if you're unarmed?
Yeah, but they also did unarmed combat, remember?
That's
true. He was fighting hand-to-hand with fucking Arnold there in the first one. So they did same thing hunters do. You know, they have primitive weapon season. You know, my first kill of the club was primitive weapon season. It was a 50 caliber muzzleloader. I think I got a picture of it around here somewhere. I think I was about 15.
Well, in this movie, doesn't, like, the Predator kind of grabs Wayland.
Yeah.
And, like, scans inside and sees that he's got some disease or whatever it was. Was it cancer?
Yeah.
And so he's just like, no, so he doesn't hurt him.
Yeah, throws him down.
Because that's...
That's what he would do to Seagal. He'd look at Seagal and go,
nah. Like I said, it's not a challenge. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Nah. Which, you know, I get that. I
can't get any points off of him. But there's... this one, getting back to this one, it's a decent movie. It's decent. It could have been a lot worse. It could have been The Predator. That was a lot worse. Even though The Predator, like I said, that last Predator movie could have been edited into something even better. I have it on Blu-ray. I actually want to see it again. I tried to rewatch it again here at home. Got about an hour into it and just kind of like, I don't really want to see this. And I just walked away from it. Even though I think it got better as it went. The way some of those guys died was pretty cool. One guy got his damn legs cut off by the damn shield on the ship. That movie just needed to be streamlined down into something that was a better movie. having the Predators talk to each other and then letting us know what they were saying with the subtitles, not a good idea.
Again, that's that demystification thing. It's much creepier
if you don't know.
I mean, they can talk to each other, obviously, but it, you know, if you don't know what they're saying, don't tell us what they were saying, because then we can imagine all kind of fucked up shit that they're talking.
Yeah, and I don't know who makes these movies anymore. I don't understand it. They don't know. They don't really understand human nature and how to manipulate human nature. You never want to give the fans that much information. You want them to imagine and fantasize about it, about what they said.
Yeah.
Which makes it a lot more mysterious. You know, man, they're talking to each other. Which is, I would say that was one of the things that I liked about AVP2, the Requiem. It showed inside the ships, it showed them doing certain things, and it really didn't explain it, but you knew what it was going on. You could tell. And it was kind of more interesting that way. They didn't have subtitles under anything.
Granther's Hammer, which is a worse way to die, by the Predator or Mongolian Death Box?
Mongolian Death Box.
Well, yeah, because that takes longer.
Yeah. Death Coffin. Yeah.
The Death Coffin.
The Death Coffin is designed to crush your soul and your body slowly over a period of years. Crush your mind, to cause you to just go insane. You go insane, but it doesn't matter. You're still in that fucking box.
Yeah.
And then those walls crushing in, and then you can't stand it, and you go insane because you're in the box, but going insane doesn't help you. You're still in that damn box. Ooh.
Yeah, that would suck.
Sure it would take and then you'd try to adapt to it, but then you'd adapt to a form of insanity. But then I can imagine it. No, it would be good.
Yeah. All right, you ready to wrap it up?
Yeah.
I'm getting real sleepy. I need a nap. Okay. But yeah, because we gotta watch a movie tonight so we can record the retrospective.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night is our regular show.
Okay.
Which is going to be Creepiest Urban Legends.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to doing that one because I really like urban legends. So I'm going to, you know, I just picked a bunch that I liked, so I'm going to cover a bunch of those. And I'm rereading one of my Jan Harald Brunvand books to kind of get some ideas for that.
Hold on. Hugo says APB was too dark, couldn't see shit. That was the idea. They did that on purpose. They didn't want you to see it because it was a very low-budget movie. If you saw certain parts of those things, you'd go, oh, man, it looks like shit. So I think it was probably a better choice.
Let's just turn all the lights off.
Kind of make it kind of dark.
It'll just be a complete dark movie so no one can see it.
That's your imagination.
Might as well be like a radio show, like from the 30s or something. All right. So, thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Thanks for Super Chats. And we will see you guys tomorrow evening. Bye.